I was sitting in a parking lot, and you know how you get like focused on something, right? And my foot was on the brake of the car, and I was staring to my left for a moment, sort of unconscious, thinking about something, but staring out the window. And I panicked for a moment because I felt my car was moving. And I slammed my foot on the brake for just a second, right? Except for then I noticed that, in fact, I wasn't moving, right? The car next to me was backing up, right? But my mind said, you're drifting forward. Drifting forward in a parking lot is a bad thing. So, you know, for a moment, I lost a sense of what was happening because focused as I was on my own position, I thought, well, I must be moving in relation to what I was looking at. We lose perspective. We naturally think of ourselves at the center of things because we are concerned ultimately about our position in the world. We see the world from our vantage point. It's not a matter of conceit. It's not ego. It's reality. We have to take care of ourselves. There's no one to do that but us. The only eyes, the only ears that we have are sitting in this body. Most of the time, we are self-centered simply because we need to be. In this Torah portion, this week's Torah portion, all of us, all Jews everywhere in the world, I always think that's an unbelievable thought, you know? Every synagogue, everywhere in the world, reads the Ten Commandments. Tradition tells us that only the first two were spoken by God. The rest Moses gave to the people because God's voice was just too awesome, too overwhelming, too real, if you will, for them to absorb. But as I just said, the other reality is that only the first two were necessary. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. That's the positive side. The other side, you shall have no other gods except for me. Two sides of the same coin, the negative and the positive. The remainder follows from there. First is to know that there is a God at the heart of life. Only one holy day appears in the Ten Commandments. And it ain't Yom Kippur. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's Shabbat. Remember the Sabbath day. Observe the Sabbath day. Why? To keep it holy. We're commanded to sanctify the seventh day. One seventh of time is to be made or kept, and that's an important distinction, holy. But nowhere, nowhere does the Torah tell us what that means. Only later, the rabbis of the Talmud fill in the details out of necessity. I can imagine the person that went to the sage, you know, and said, okay, it says to be holy. Now, what do I do? What do I do? And they had to come up with an answer. Do you sit all around all day long and go, the Sabbath is holy, the Sabbath is holy, the Sabbath is holy, the Sabbath is holy? So they came up with activities. How do you make this day holy? To sanctify Shabbat means to change our perspective to make life most real on that day. But then how do we do that? I mean, life is about being holy, but how do you make life sacred? How do you make life most real? On Shabbat, that seventh day, we need to change perspective. All week long, we have to think about the past and the future. You know, we live in a world of creation. We work, we raise children, we take care of the people or animals or things around us. We have to consider what we have done. We have to consider what we will do. It is a demand on our time. We must plan for consequences. We must remember where we are headed. And then we must set out on a path for ourselves. We must, of necessity, consider the future. We must remember where we have been. We must, in other words, in some sense, live in both the past and in the future. When we remember the past, part of what accompanies the memories are emotions associated with those memories. Our memories reflect the past, where we were, even though their accounts, we're remembering them in the present. But in point of fact, we're not entirely experiencing the present, are we? We're experiencing what happened before. It's a remnant that we're carrying with us. That remnant, the memory, will be colored by the evaluations that we put on those experiences. Kind of a story that we tell to ourselves about what happened. We interpret what happened to us. And it's those interpretations, those stories, so to speak, that we're really remembering. How many of you are on Facebook? Right. I found a woman on Facebook last night I took out on one date in 1965. And I wrote to her and said, "Are you the Shelley Goldberg who went to Pikesville High School?" And I got an answer today that said, "You know, I think I remember you. I think we dated." Well, we didn't dated. We date. Okay? And I wrote back to her the story, you know? And why in the world do I remember a woman, besides the fact that she was gorgeous, but why do I remember a woman that I went out with once? And the answer to the question is, she got in the car, and a song came on. Mick Jagger started singing Satisfaction, and I'd never heard it before, okay? And she got in the car, gorgeous, and she heard the song, and she started dancing in the front seat and singing the words. And I thought, this girl is way too cool for geeky me. She'll never talk to me. And that was the last time I saw her. And when I told her the story, you know, typing out the story, I thought, I don't know whether that's what happened or not. That was my story of the events. I don't know whether she thought I was geeky or didn't think I was geeky. You know, I don't know whether she thought I was, you know, Mr. Suave and Debonair. It's my reading of what happened that I was remembering. I was not at that moment even living in the present. I was experiencing the past. Likewise, when we anticipate the future, we are projecting what we believe will happen. We worry about what could happen. And we plan for how we will counter the bad stuff or we'll enjoy the good stuff. But we're not really experiencing the reality of the moment. We're projecting ourselves into the future. Now, all of this is necessary in order to get work done, to take care of our families, to do what is necessary to survive, but not on Shabbat. On Shabbat, we can just be. On Shabbat, we can just feel. On Shabbat, there is no past and no future. There is only the moment in which we are living. On Shabbat, we don't have to postpone life to plan our actions in the future or relive the past in order to interpret the present. You cannot feel in the past. You cannot feel in the future. You can only feel, you can only live in the present, in this moment, right now. If you're thinking about the past or you're considering the future, then you're not living in the present. But then you are not using the present to its fullest because you are not available to what is actually happening now. You are thinking about what will or what has happened, and therefore you're removed from what is. But what is the only thing that is real. I-70 out in Colorado runs through Glenwood Canyon on the other side of the Continental Divide. And the highway there in Glenwood Canyon is about the most beautiful scenery that I know. It's got to be the most beautiful highway. And it runs through this canyon with the high mountain walls on either side, beautiful rocky mountains, a river to the east side of the highway, or south side of the highway, a train track that is absolutely an idyllic scene. During the summer, it's just so beautiful. White water. During the winter, the snow. It's a snapshot. It's gorgeous. Some years ago, I was talking to a man who was telling me how he took his boys through Glenwood Canyon in their RV. And he was overwhelmed with the beauty. And he said, "Boys, look out the window." And they said, "We can't. We're too busy." His dad said, look out the window." "Now, Dad, come on, man. We're watching a movie." And the dad said, "Well, what are you watching?" And they said, "A river runs through it." It's a true story. Okay, they would rather experience the two-dimensional screen than look out the window at the three-dimensional reality. Living in the past or in the future is like watching the movie while the scenery is passing you by. On Shabbat, we are commanded to neither create nor destroy, because doing is a distraction from being. We're just plunked down in the middle of God's creation. We're plunked down in the midst of our own lives, and we're told, just experience them. Do not manipulate. Do not plan. Do not try to formulate the lives of the people around you. Just be. On Shabbat, we are not industrial animals constructing and controlling the spaces around us. Rather, we are commanded to shift our perspective to something that is more real. God put us here just to be. And on Shabbat, we can abandon the idea of ourselves that says that we get our worth from what we do. And we just appreciate that being is of infinite value all by itself. Shabbat is, as Abraham Joshua Heschel called it, an island in time. That's why people walk on Shabbat. That's why women do not cook on Shabbat. We stay away from creation. We stay away from destruction. We are not the animal on Shabbat that produces. On Shabbat, we are infinitely valuable creatures just because we live in a relationship with our Creator. One perspective change on Shabbat, then, is that we neither create nor destroy. And the other perspective change is that we're no longer the center of the universe. When I was in that parking space, my car was not moving, but I experienced it as moving forward. It was an illusion created by thinking that I was the center of the action around me. And that's how we are in life, you know? We think of ourselves as the center. It's natural to think of the world with ourselves somehow the focus. But that's not real. It's just our impression. Have you noticed that all things change? I don't care what it is. It could be a gnat, a fruit fly, a human being, a mountain, an ocean, the universe itself. All things change, but time stays the same. If you occupy a space, nothing else can occupy that space, but time is experienced equally by all. We exist to change space, but we exist in time. Time is universal and unchangeable. We manipulate space and objects. We cannot manipulate time. You can measure it in different units, nanoseconds, or eons, but it does not change. It is only our appreciation of it that changes. The difference between being with that young lady and high school Spanish was a considerable difference, but only in my own mind. Time remains the same, absolutely unchangeable,
eternal, universal. Time is sacred. Shabbat is sacred time. And on Shabbat, we have the opportunity to just experience, to live, to be, to breathe, to exist, to love unstintingly and from the core of our being, not because of what we get through loving, but just because we want to love. To make no demands, to not plan, you plan Shabbat in advance, to neither create nor destroy. On Shabbat, we appreciate that we are God's creatures, put here in a relationship with God. And that is all that we have to do. Nothing else. The center shifts to God. Our relationship is with the master of the universe. All we have to do is to be here in relationship, for that is what love is about. We are infinitely valuable, infinitely worthwhile. We just exist to love, to share, to exist. And we need no other rationale than that. It matters not whether you live in a large home or a shack, whether you drive a Lexus or nothing at all, whether you are a CEO or you are unemployed, whether your week went well or it went poorly. All that we set aside in favor of pure existence. Not anticipating the future, not reminiscing or agonizing over the past. What's done is done. What we anticipate may or may not yet come to be. But we create this island in time to live in the moment, and nothing else matters. The unmovable center of existence, the parking place, so to speak, is each of us in relationship to the eternal God. When we hold on to that perspective, we see the world in its proper proportions. We need to prevent pain and suffering, for it is pain and suffering that remove us from the ability to love and to be in the relationship. We want to love selflessly. With those in place, we have what we need in life. We are rock solid. We cannot be swayed. We cannot be shaken. The past is gone. The future awaits. On Shabbat, we restore ourselves to our proper place in God's universe, and thereby we gain what we need to go forward for the new week. With a renewed understanding of our task in life, with renewed energy to be God's partner in creation. On Shabbat, we relearn weekly that right now, is all that there is. We can imagine the future. We can remember the past. Those both exist, but frankly, only in our heads. They are products of our imaginations and of our memories, our constructions of reality. But now, this moment, we can live. And that indeed is most precious, a gift from God to be relished as best we can all week. And completely relish it, by just being on Shabbat. Can you hear that song?